Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's get this show going, man.
Hurry up, hurry up!
With your hosts, Swagzilla Zero G.
We can't all be winners.
Mike, the feverish Fanero.
It's never in a vacuum! Nothing is in a vacuum!
And FF underscore spaceman.
And he's trying to trick me by supporting vacated targets as if they're a real thing.
David Wright. The Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it,
baby. They come. Wait, see.
Welcome back to Rookie Fever, episode 217, here as always with the feverish Fanero and FF underscore spaceman. Episode 217, we're almost at 220. I think we might celebrate that one more than 161. Cooking
161 along. Was a big deal.
It was, and then like 161 almost got like overshadowed by we've mentioned a lot lately, but and we'll be getting into them soon. But the player profiles, because it was through that time period where we're almost like, wait, what are we gonna do for one? That's what we talk about. What are we gonna do for 161? And I think it hit on like a player profile. Some bad news this week: we lose Justin Fields. Before it even really started, we lose him at least 1 week. We won't see him on Thanksgiving Day. We will get Andy Dalton. Also going to miss some time, Michael Carter. Two rookies down through week 11. But that's no fun. So we'll kind of move to things we're thankful for, because we have Thanksgiving coming up. I haven't talked a ton to the guys, so I don't know if we're releasing this early so they have something to listen to like in advance, or if we're going to make them wait till Thanksgiving morning and play it with the whole entire family while they're watching football and cooking dinner. What do you guys think?
Oh, definitely. I think I would just skip the turkey and put Rookie Fever on.
All the sustenance you need is Rookie Fever.
Rookie turkey. Dave, I'm going to do you a favor, Dave, because I'm thankful for you. You have done me a favor. And you told us you would mellow out the Rondale Moore talk a little bit. But you have to be thankful for that 11-for-11 we saw from Rondale Moore. You mentioned him quickly before the show and the vacated targets.
No Rondale Moore talk before the show, but I'm on a strict diet. And that actually is not what I'm thankful for. But honestly, I'm happy for – always got to be happy for – that's what I've been trying to harp on Waddle the last couple weeks too. Got to like the volume first and foremost here, but only 60 yards on those 11 targets. Would have liked to see a little bit more here. But, you know, I'm not going to complain here at all, especially with the backup quarterback, Colt McCoy, and Rondale Moore. You know, definitely getting the targets, not the high-value targets we'd like to see, but he's doing something with them. So making – breaking tackles, making quick, sharp moves. So whatever. Nothing. I'm not very excited this week.
What did I hear when he was talking about the vacated targets? I thought he said something about Rondale Moore, and someone in one of his chats was talking about Rondale Moore and the vacated targets. I heard that all wrong?
No, it was – I forget what player it was. It was Darnell Mooney.
Darnell Mooney.
Love me some Darnell Mooney.
Are you going in to on the spot?
No, I can't.
I was
do
like,
that.
No, we are not Darnell Mooney. No,
the last wish-ish and feverish was all about Darnell Mooney. I'm not gonna. You go back two episodes. Listen to my Darnell Mooney love.
It is not that phase of the moon this week.
Nice.
49% target share in week 11, though.
That's why
I'll tell
host.
You what I'm thankful for. Our opportunity to be on the weekly check down. We were the first guests, Fanero and I, last week that dropped, I believe. And in that show, I thankfully mentioned that there would be a juicy matchup with Elijah Moore and Jalen Waddle, and they would both be wide receiver twos or better. And they jumped in as wide receiver ones. I think Waddle was like wide receiver 3 or 4 on the week with like a hell of a week, like a week. Yeah, some weeks he would have been wide receiver 1. But so shout out to those guys for having us on, being the first guest. I don't know if I've ever been a first guest on a show before. A lot of fun. But so I'm thankful for that weird little stack. I'm thankful for Jalen Waddle. I'm super thankful for his, I think, 93 or 94 targets on the season. 93, 8th in the NFL in targets. I'm thankful for Jalen Waddle.
And two, this week in week 11, they used him in a creative way on the jet sweep. That's something you like to see. And he was able to show off his speed. It feels like they haven't really let him loose yet. And sometimes, so he's getting a lot of volume, but then to get him creative, get him out in space, they've been the jet sweep on the goal line for his rushing touchdown. So I really like seeing that too in week 11.
Yeah. I see Finero looking at something and kind of back and forth to the mic. I'm waiting for,
I was trying to decide how I want to set this up. What do you, what's the main food item that you celebrate Thanksgiving with?
I mean, the main food seems like it's turkey.
Right. And what do turkeys or the female turkey, what does that lay?
An egg.
Right. Eggs are like rookie pick swags. If they take too long to hatch, that's not a good thing.
Yeah.
The thing I'm thankful for, and it's obviously very clear this week, is Elijah Moore and all the shares of Elijah Moore that I traded for in the offseason. In 5 weeks with Zach Wilson, Elijah Moore was wide receiver 112. In the last 4 weeks with 3 different quarterbacks, 4 if you want to include the partial game Wilson played, Elijah Moore is now wide receiver 4.
Wow.
Let that sink in. He's wide receiver 4.
So are you worried about Zach Wilson?
I mean, that's the whole thing, right? Everyone's concerned that Zach Wilson is going to drag him down somehow. And the thing that I love seeing out of any wide receiver is the ability to play with multiple quarterbacks. So I'm not really sure. For me, obviously the quarterback has a lot to do with the wide receiver, but I'm not really sure for me that I'm concerned about that as much anymore. I mean, freaking Joe Flacco was out there. Mm-hmm. And Moore had his best game. I was looking back, AJ Brown had his major breakout in, I believe it was week 12. That's when AJ Brown had his big push. Before week 12, he had 446 yards and 3 touchdowns. Elijah Moore has 415 yards and 5 touchdowns. And we all know how much we fell in love with AJ Brown in the final part of the season. Do you guys think Elijah Moore can push and go another, he needs another 490 yards for the rest of the season and 3 touchdowns to match AJ Brown's rookie year? He's got some okay matchups coming up.
Yeah, it'd be close.
Yep, he's got the Texans allowing the 14th most, which is basically a mid-range. He's got the Eagles. That's not a great matchup for wide receivers. The Saints is a decent matchup for wide receivers. The Dolphins, another matchup. And then the Jags, I don't know. I think he's got a shot. I think he's seeing the mini breakout. I mean,
he's
got
to get almost 100 yards a game.
Almost.
Yeah.
Not quite. So we're going to need a couple blow-up performances along the way.
So let me ask you this. Do you think we see Zach Wilson again this season?
I do.
And I don't mean that like career-wise. I'm not trying to get like all bull-takey like he's done. I'm saying like, do they let him sit behind Flacco and maybe watch from the sidelines and get him ready for next year?
Nah, I don't think so. I could be wrong. That's not my gut's telling me that they're going to put him out there when they can.
Yeah, I don't think the Jets are even smart enough. And I'm not saying it's the smartest move, but I don't think they're even smart enough to think that way. Because it might even help him having this time off as of recently and seeing all these other quarterbacks. I don't want to succeed, but doing better in the offense than he has. I just wonder if it wouldn't be that bad of a thing if we didn't see him again this season. But I think you're right. I think we will.
I think I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, too. But in the weeks that Finero was talking about early in the season where he really struggled, 13.1 ADOT. The last four, or since from week 5 to 11, it's now down to like a 10.6 ADOT. So they've really changed how they're using him too. Not that he can't, you know, stretch the field a little bit, which we've seen some big plays and stuff. But I think that's what's exciting about Elijah Moore, that they kind of have adjusted to what he does well, and they haven't just slotted him into something. And he's been exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. 156 yards last week. He had one attempt for 15 yards and then 8 receptions, 11 targets, another 141 yards and a touchdown.
Not a bad game.
I'll be honest with you. I don't know. I can say with a lot of confidence that I have zero Elijah Moore, and I don't feel great about that.
I don't even know what you'd have to give up to get him now. I wonder what the price tag is for Elijah Moore right now after what he's done. I don't think you can go get him at this point. You got to wait until he hits a little bit of a lull or something, because people who have him loved him like Finero. He's gonna be awful tough to acquire here.
Yeah. He's been in our top 12 at top 10 or higher all of the last 5 weeks. He's been top rookie twice of the past 5 weeks. I feel like I'm jinxing him. I mentioned. Mentioned a couple weeks ago that I was like, I'm done talking about Elijah Moore until he does something or shows me. And then ever since then, that's all he's done. So a little worried about next week, considering how much jinx, we're talking though, about
and,
him.
And I'm not even saying there's a jinx, but everybody's throwing a lot of shade towards T. Higgins. But I mean, what is going on with the Bengals in general in that offense and the passing game all of a sudden, to where T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase are just, I mean, Ja'Marr Chase isn't even a wide receiver two this week, a couple weeks in a row here with, and I'm not worried. I'm not being that guy here, but there's something going on that's not just like T. Higgins sucks. I mean, if you're ignoring the quick decline that Ja'Marr Chase and that whole offense has had through the air, I don't even know. It's just Joe Mixon.
Yeah, to be honest, I haven't looked closely enough at those games to see what is happening. I mean, if you look back at Chase, I mean, he was rookie wide receiver two, three of the first 5 weeks, and the other 2 weeks mm-hmm. he was rookie number six. He's been in double digits for, well, I guess he's rookie number six this week, but rookie number 10, 12. He's never missed our list other than a bye week.
No, absolutely not. And
but I hear you.
Still having a good season.
Yeah, I absolutely hear you, though. I don't know. I wish I could, you know, wish
but
I could
it's
tell
not
you what's
like
going on.
Ja'Marr Chase is wide receiver 27, and then we're having a T. Higgins week, and they're not even going back and forth. Like, right. Ja'Marr Chase is still outplaying T. Higgins by all means, but they've both just kind of fallen off a little bit from that wide receiver two and above. Dave's crunching some numbers. I'm waiting for you to take your mute button off.
Yeah, I was trying to see, like, because it has been bad, and I think Joe Burrow has struggled the last 3 weeks. That's been for sure. And I was like, okay, what's always my main question with Cincinnati is their offensive line. And I wanted to go back and blame it on the offensive line, but it's not the case. They've got according to PFF, he's got an average time to throw of like 3.41 seconds. I can't find it again right now, but that's not bad, because like we've seen wide receiver like Kirk Cousins has him like 2 point something for the season or whatever. So it's not, I can't even blame him on the offensive line. I don't know what it is, but I don't like it. The market share number, like the opportunities are still there. He's still getting decent target shares, which is so, and then the touchdowns haven't been there for T. Higgins. I think that's one of the biggest concerns. Once the touchdowns come and that kind of reverts back to the mean a little bit, things will be better. But yeah, definitely not loving what I'm seeing from T. Higgins this year after having very high hopes.
Yeah, I mean, Chase has 8 touchdowns on the season. He's had, you know, this patch, if you want to call it, where, you know, 32 yards, 49 yards, 32 yards. But he's not going to get 159, 97, 201 every week. That's not going to happen. So I think speaking of, you know, going back to the mean, I think we have some matchups that he'll take advantage of rest of season. He does have a couple tough ones as well mixed in there, but you know, it happens to everybody. I think it'll correct itself.
And actually, Ja'Marr Chase leads right into what I'm thankful for. I'm actually thankful for Ja'Marr Chase. he was someone that I was extremely like bullish on, pounded the table for him, along with a lot of other people. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to say that I was out here saying Jamar, like I was the only one with Jamar Chase, which isn't the case. I think we all knew he was good or thought he was good. But after seeing, you know, seasons where Mike Williams, Corey Davis don't just they disappoint, after N'Keal Harry seasons, I'm just thankful that after, you know, with how much people liked it, the film people liked him, the analytics community liked him, and there's some real consensus here that he's done so well and done it in such exciting style. That's what I'm thankful for, is that we don't have a top wide receiver bust, because that there's nothing like going all in on a player and thinking he's like a locked in type guy, and like a goat, and then having them fail or at least struggle early on. So that's what I'm really thankful for, is that, and sometimes we don't talk about that, like the guys at the top, this rookie class is so much more exciting with Jamar Chase doing what he's doing, which is what I'm thankful for.
Another strange thing that I maybe this has happened once or twice before, but everyone on our top 12 is a startable fantasy player this week. There's nobody below a wide receiver 3. We have a lot of wide receiver 2s and wide receiver 1s. We have border tight end 1. Pitts was a tight end 2, which, you know, obviously that's not very serviceable. But I mean, everybody on this list is as a flex at minimum. I just don't know if that's happened often. I definitely remember seeing like wide receiver 56, 59, like on this list before. So I thought that was kind of an interesting observation this week.
Yeah, I'm enjoying this wide receiver class a lot more than I thought I have, or even like the Justin Jefferson, like him, like even when he was in CeeDee Lamb, Judy, Metcalf, like watching all of these wide receivers like approaching and being in this wide receiver 2 and above area week in, week out, I think is super exciting. And that's another thing too, like we have to try to remember, and this is one of the hardest things about fantasy football, is we have to remember what we thought like 6 months ago sometimes. And when you know you're coming into a class, and before the NFL drafted this class, we knew it was a wide receiver class. And then we get really excited about other things like the running backs and those top 3 backs. And the whole time you kind of know it's a wide receiver class. And here it's kind of showing that. And I think the same thing, like when you start looking ahead at like when people are excited about the 2023 class, like there's a reason for that. And remember when you get there, why you were excited for it, and don't make it something different. Even kind of like the 2020 class was a running back class, and we've sort of seen that. But yeah, long spiel about the where we are, I guess. Finero.
Yep, yep.
You must be thankful for something.
Yeah, so this is going to sound selfish, and it is. I'm not going to lie.
I'm not trying to be selfish, but this is all about me right now.
Yeah, sometimes the things that we're most thankful for are the things that were given to us. Every Thanksgiving, I don't have to host. I go to a local bakery. I buy a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup chocolate cake, and I bring that as my offering to Thanksgiving dinner. I get thanked several times for bringing said cake, of which I do nothing to really do other than purchase. Meanwhile, it sounds
really good.
It's amazing. But meanwhile, my sister does all this work to arrange Thanksgiving, to, you know, to make it awesome, to prepare all the items, and all I do is show up. I could not be more thankful for how easy Thanksgiving is for me. I know that sounds selfish, but between that and Hawkeye starting this week, they're the two things on a personal level that I'm probably most thankful for.
Yeah, I think, I don't know if you sounded selfish. You sounded grateful to me.
All right.
Maybe your sister enjoys doing all that.
She does. We had discussions about it because I've tried to encourage her to cater the event, and I would help to pay for it just to give her a year off. And she said that just waking up and smelling the turkey, and it's part of the day for her. If she was to omit that, it would just not feel like Thanksgiving.
Yeah. And that makes sense too.
Yeah.
But I'm all for like steaks on Thanksgiving though.
Oh, that sounds so much better. That really does. That sounds great. One year, my mother made each of us a Cornish game hen and stuffed it with wild rice. That was amazing. They were so much better than turkey.
Yeah.
And you had your own little one. It was so cool. Oh, really?
Yeah, we had those on Easter. Every Easter, we'd have Cornish game hens. And
I haven't had a Cornish game hen since.
Same, dude. And I was mine was the only one that was stuffed with rice, though, and everybody else had stuffing in theirs. And I had rice because I've never really been a fan of stuffing.
Nice.
So back in the day, traditionally, the stuffing was stuffed in the turkey. That's why it was called stuffing. Now it's made a bunch of different fancy ways, and it's not stuffed in the turkey. By all means, stuffing's probably better today than when we were kids, but it used to be stuffed in the turkey.
A Cornish game hen is twice as nice with rice.
Yes, I like it. I'm thankful for my Cornish game hens. I want to do that now for my kids. It sounds kind of fun.
Sounds awesome. Yeah.
Dave, have you had the Cornish game hen experience?
I have not. I feel left out. I'm not saying I'm opposed to the Cornish game hen, but that's never been part of my experience. It's a fun word to say. Cornish game hen is a very exciting word to say.
I'm pretty sure Dave's never even heard of a Cornish game hen.
Everybody gets their own wishbone.
Yes.
Another bonus to the Cornish game hen.
Less leftover, so that's the negative.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, we're going to swing that way. What are you thankful for, Dave?
I don't want to be I have two things here, so I'm going to double up, but I'll make it quick. Sometimes and I'll be pretty basic here, too. It's the health of my loved ones and friends. Sometimes just general good health is overlooked, and then when people don't have it or loved ones, you don't have it. When that happens, you forget how much that's appreciated. And I'm very thankful for my son being a healthy boy, or you know, a healthy baby, and not having to be long stay in the NICU or anything like that. And then my wife, me, my parents, and my friends. I'm very happy that everyone's healthy because you know, it's basic, but without that, you know, that I wish I could get more poetic, but that's about it. It's just good health for people that I care about because I saw. Troy King, who people know on Twitter, he shared like a Tom Brady, like a little kid. You know, you see on ESPN, the kids with cancer type stuff. And I happened to watch that right before the hopping on here, and it was pretty emotional. And just how much sometimes pro players mean to NFL or pro players mean to young kids dealing with these things. So that was a very moving thing. So it was like basically health was what came to mind for me. And then second thing, really cool over the weekend, a longtime student of mine who's been with me for, I've had him for like 5 years or so. He's a young man with Down syndrome. He just got his Eagle Scout. He's 21 years old, and he had a committee where they asked him a bunch of questions on Friday. He completed his project over the summer, and he had that. And it was he epitomizes all the values that people respect in Boy Scouts. And I can't think of a more deserving person than him. So shout out to G Money. For such a really an incredible accomplishment because he's worked hard for it and he really embodies all of the things that have to do with the values of Boy Scouts. So I'm thankful for him and getting a much deserved accomplishment.
That is awesome. Shout out to G Money. Is G Money going to listen to this?
I'll probably play it for him. I played it for him. Yeah.
Splice him off that spot even. That'd be sweet. Well, I'm going to switch it up a little bit and get back to a couple players because that was awesome, but we got super serious and we're only 20-ish minutes in.
I feel super shallow now.
So I'm really thankful for Javonte Williams' schedule coming out of the bye week, which is something that I'm really excited for just this time. I don't want to say the outcome because we don't know them yet, but this is about the timing. We've talked about this before here on Rookie Fever years past and into this season where we really want to see the opportunity share that Denver's going to start to give Javonte week 12 out of the bye. Juicy matchup against Detroit. But then it's also this playoff schedule that we're getting with, I'll just say the Denver backfield in general, but I'm going to be watching closely here in Javonte. I think like you have to throw out some offers for Javonte now, and they have to be a little bit more than you think you have to pay to acquire him if you want to have a shot. And I think this is one really like this. I never get much interaction when I say this, but this is one that I'd really love to see you guys in any of our inboxes asking if this is the trade you should make for Javonte Williams, if you're unsure of the process you want. But I think you need to get some Javonte contending or out of contention. The price is going to be different by the end of this season, and you probably won't acquire him unless you're in a startup or you really pay up. We'll see what transpires, but that's where I'm at. I'm thankful for this schedule coming up here.
He's a lot of people's already there, like RB7, RB8 in Dynasty right now. Like,
wow. Which is,
yeah. Like, don't say anything negative about Javonte Williams on the timeline. That's a very loyal group. I actually really like Javonte Williams, but, I'm just surprised with how high people have him. Like KTC, which is a new type of ranking system, they have him as their RB7 in Dynasty. It like crowdsources rankings. I don't quite understand it, but, RB7 player profile is the RB8. So it just kind of pops out that how high people are already on him, and he's been good. Don't get me wrong. Like he's showing, talk about all the time, how good.
Yeah. It seems kind of high, but I kind of get it just with like the idea of needing to really move on from some of these older running backs before it's too late. But that's still, it seems a little too soon for me.
DLF has him at 13.
Okay. So, I don't know. I want to add some more Javonte. I think it's going to be tough with all that said. I won't lie. I'm not even paying attention to the rankings too much until you guys just brought it up. I guess I should start. But, I think it's going to be tough to acquire him once you dig into the offseason here.
Yeah, I think it's already tough. But it sounds like it's one of those things where, and I've seen you do this in so many leagues, it's fine. I'll just overpay them. Like, give them to me now. Because at some point, it's going to be impossible.
Yeah.
Are you guys prepared, though, for this 50-50 to last the whole season?
It very well could.
Seems that way.
I'm actually preparing for Melvin Gordon to re-sign the offseason. That's actually what I'm preparing for.
Wow.
And I don't think he's been, like, quite... He hasn't been playing like Aaron Jones, but he's been having a decent, like, you know, like the whole Aaron Jones thing. Like, oh, he's leaving A.J. Dillon to the moon. I could see that happening. Because I'm sure... No one's going to be paying a ton of money for Melvin Gordon at his age.
I don't know if he wants a ton.
Yeah, I was actually holding my breath a little bit because you saw Courtland Sutton get a deal. You saw Tim Patrick get a deal out of Denver out of their bye week. I was holding my breath. I was like, is Melvin Gordon the next shoe to drop here? As they try to gear up to go for a QB push here in free agency or something.
It's not too crazy, man. I mean, you don't hear a lot about Melvin Gordon anymore, and I think that he probably almost even appreciates that and wouldn't mind just signing another small 2-year contract with Denver and playing out with him. But I agree with your mindset, Dave, but I do think that it's going to also lead to Javonte being the lead back, even if it just means by like he takes that split that isn't quite his and he earns the lion's share, which looks like it's going to be a small difference. But I think that he's going to eventually earn that role. And I think they're a better team with him.
For sake of argument, if he was to resign, is there an ease of buy there?
Probably.
Initially. The first 24 hours there will be.
Exactly. Just initially, right?
Yep. And that's it. It's the first 24 hours, like Dave said, when people are overreacting. That's when you have to react to that overreaction, and you have to get in and fight through the fear. Kind of even like I said earlier in the show, you have to think like you were thinking 6 months ago, and you have to be ready for that moment when he re-signs and pounce. Don't get scared. And you know, like a good example for me is like last year with Mitch Trubisky. He all of a sudden has the starting gig in Chicago. And I knew the whole damn time if he took that starting gig in Chicago that I needed to sell right away and just get out for whatever. But instead, I all of a sudden felt like I had a starting quarterback in Superflex and I wanted to prosper the wrong way when I should have just got out of all my shares because I knew that that's what I needed to do. So many times we know what we need to do before we get there, but then once we're there, we make the wrong decisions. And you have to kind of look back at the you that was smarter before you were reacting.
Swags, I'm so guilty of that. Almost like the reverse is, and I think Spaceman was bringing it up at one point in one of our earlier shows a few weeks ago, was there was a buy opportunity for Brandon Ayuk.
I was thinking the same thing just now.
And I remember thinking, well, if I can ever get Brandon Ayuk, I'm going to hop on that. And the opportunity was there, and I was even offered Brandon Ayuk in a few deals that were completely fair. And didn't pounce, didn't take them, stood pat, said, you know what, I'm concerned. You know, you're hearing about Dante Pettis treatment, all this stuff. Maybe he's out of favor. There's something between the ears that isn't working. You know, it smelled bad. So I avoided it because it smelled bad. And I'm regretting it now. I remember thinking before, if there was ever an opportunity, that was something I was going to pounce on. That player in particular, somebody I liked very much. And sometimes you don't listen to your own advice.
Yep. I actually was able to add a couple shares of Ayuk through that, but I don't know that they were super cheap. Like the one was Travis Etienne and a third for Ayuk. And then the other was that huge trade I had in that league that we're in, Finero, and it was where I traded Mahomes away, and I got Tua, Kyle Pitts, and Brandon Ayuk for Mahomes. So some bigger trades. I forget the other one too, but I added two or three. Maybe it's just that two, but Brandon Ayuk, I'm thankful for his Thanksgiving week matchup as well. Not the juiciest, but not bad for him, and we'll say Debo as well. But up against Minnesota, those wide receivers have been doing arguably pretty decent.
Did you guys see the quote from Kyle Shanahan on Brandon Ayuk that was going around today? I'll paraphrase it, but essentially he said he called Brandon Ayuk out. And often you see with a lot of players, when you're called out like that and you're criticized and you need to work on things, you see them get in their own head and they're lost for the whole season. And he said that did not happen with Brandon Ayuk. He was extremely impressed how he just kept on going on the practice field and on the field, working on what the feedback he was being given, and that he was really impressed how he grinded. He didn't lash out. He didn't complain. He just did his job, essentially. And so that was a big, long quote from Kyle Shanahan pointing out just how impressed he was with Ayuk for being a young player and to be so mature like that.
So, and man, I don't want to be devil's advocate here. I don't even want to be, but it does go through my head. Like, how much of that is – do you feel like any of that is Shanahan trying to save his job a little bit and – doing his job to kind of try to get himself out of the doghouse and remend that relationship that he's maybe hurt a little bit?
Possibly. I'm not a big Kyle Shanahan fan, but I was just happy to see some positive news and being recognition from who his coach is right now.
Sure.
That's what I
absolutely.
I think you can't be all hard. Like, people want to talk about Bill Belichick as one of a huge hard ass coach, but he's actually one of the more light coaches. I know Tom Brady's kind of done some hinting since he's left a little bit, but overall he's kind of viewed by players as a player coach, which is surprising. I mean, for certain types of players as a player coach, and it's because he's a hard ass at certain times, but he's also very player friendly in like letting players have like skipping practices during the week, during the season and stuff like that. So I think that you can't just be all you know, pour salt in the wounds here as a coach. You can't be all negative reinforcement or negative punishment kind of guy. You gotta give some reinforcement every once in a while.
I agree. Mr. Feverish, what other juicy schedules are you seeing?
There was a player that he's kind of been either on our shit list or propped up by our predictions because they're so hard to play, but Amon Ra versus the Bears, who give up the third most points to the wide receiver position. I like him this week. So if you have a situation where, you know, it's your third or fourth wide receiver and Amon Ra is not somebody you trust very much, I would consider him for this week.
Is Jared Goff playing this week? Do we know?
Who knows? But honestly, I mean, that would help. There's no doubt about that.
Who knows?
That would probably help. And that's not saying much either.
You know who is playing? DeAndre freaking Swift, baby. RB5 on the friggin' season.
Yes. I am very thankful for DeAndre Swift and Jonathan Taylor, but I think DeAndre Swift has gotten kind of lost in the five touchdowns from Jonathan Taylor this last weekend and the workload that he's taken. I think Ryan McDowell tweeted it out, but it's his second week in a row with his career NFL rushing yards. So the last 2 weeks, those have both been career weeks for DeAndre Swift in the rushing yards. So really pretty awesome to see.
I'm also looking for Kyle Pitts versus Jacksonville, giving up the 10th most points to the tight end position. Looking for a nice little bounce back game from him.
Finero, I don't know how you guys feel about this one. I said Finero and you guys, but did you notice I also like put what they do against the wide receivers? Like, can you look at Kyle Pitt as closer to a wide receiver sometimes with the routes that he runs and the targets that he's getting there?
Fair enough.
And I know like, it's a comparable matchup anyway. The difference isn't that much, but decent matchup for Kyle Pitts against Jacksonville. Maybe a little bit of a bounce back here.
Yeah, I'm feeling it.
He's on the long week coming off that Thursday night game. That's his first short NFL week. I mean, that's big stuff for rookies that a lot of people don't talk about when they have their high expectations for them on a weekly basis.
So I was gonna go so far as to say, you know, 90 to 100 yards. So he's only really gone over 100 twice. So he had that crazy game week 7 for 163. That was right. Yeah, I don't know. I'm gonna give him 90 yards and a touchdown. That's a nice bounce back game.
27% of all of his routes this season have been in line at the tight end position.
Really?
So that makes it what? 73?
Wow. Yeah, 73%.
Either in the slot or out wide for Kyle Pitts, which is a league. I think Gesicki's the only one who's lower than that. Who's considered still a tight end, and Gesicki's at like 10. Like he did barely anything. 10 total snaps if I'm, but yeah, it's pretty, he's basically a wide receiver. But, I have a little fun little stat for you guys here on Kyle Pitts. If you, I actually just tweeted this out right before we started here, but so couching this, because this is also too, as we've seen with Kyle Pitts, the last 4 weeks, he hasn't really produced. He's only had 4 receptions one time in the last 4 weeks, and that's just in one game. And then still only 1 TD on the season for Kyle Pitts. Yet, despite that, he's still having the 3rd best rookie tight end season since 2009 in a points per game at 11.3 points per game. Any guesses which 2 tight ends, rookie tight ends, have had better seasons than Kyle Pitts since?
2009? What did you say?
Yeah, 2009? Since 2009. So what 2 tight ends have had better seasons, rookie seasons, than Kyle Pitts?
Not Evan Engram.
Evan Engram actually has the 2nd best tight end season at 11.6 points per game.
You see how I did that? So as I said, it's not Evan Engram. It's like a way to guess.
I know, I like
not
that.
Guess. Like that. Yeah, it's super clever, right?
2009, though. 2000.
I'm thankful for my cleverness.
Jordan Reed?
Jordan Reed. Guys, way to go. Way to go.
Where did you pull that out of?
10, 15 people on Twitter. It took like 10 or 15 people to guess before I saw any Jordan Reed guesses. So you guys nailed them both.
Rookie fever, baby.
Swags has a tight end database you don't know about.
I wouldn't doubt him. That was
I have
impressive.
A weird way of remembering years. So once I was focusing, once you got the other one on the way, I figured the other one had to be 2009, and I was kind of focusing on the year more than the player.
Smart.
As weird as it sounds.
So basically what I'm trying to say is that I know people might be a little disappointed with Kyle Pitts, but as far as tight end seasons have gone, it's still pretty freaking good. And it's only halfway over. like there's still more to come.
And to be clear, in case it's not already clear, nobody on Rookie Fever is disappointed with Kyle Pitts.
No, not at all.
No, he's not getting the Amon Ra voice. Not at all.
No.
He's not going to timeout.
Amon Ra St. Brown didn't even... I mean, now you can hear, like, I'm putting some tone in it. Like, I'm disgusted with you. Didn't even make the top 12. Like, I'm talking about you in front of you, dude. And he's like, seriously? Yeah, you're muted, Amon-Ra St. Brown. Rashad Bateman, though, has a decent little week 12 coming up here. Didn't do so great week 11, but you have to think Lamar's back. I don't know. You guys are like, eh.
His poop waddle has already gotten better since yesterday, according to reports. So he had a little like, oh, I've pooped too much in the last 24 hours wiggle going on when he walked in the stadium. And now it's definitely, according to Adam Schefter, that his gait has already improved.
Oh, my gosh.
I do, to your point, Swags, I know you have his matchups lined up here on the show sheet. I do find those very interesting. Pretty much bottom half of the defense rest of the way out, pretty much. I like mm-hmm. it. Chicago's a juicy matchup. Bateman, I miss seeing him this week. I really would have liked seeing him with Lamar Jackson this week. That kind of pissed me off. I wanted to see how that would work without Brown Hollywood. Out there.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that's a good thing. People automatically assume that, but I wanted to see, like, does he get double digit targets? Because he's been flirting with them ever since he's been back. Has he gotten like 8 targets every single game? I would have liked to see Bateman with like 12 mm-hmm. targets. I don't know. And, yeah, it was a little deflating because I thought Lamar was going to suck it up and play. But after we saw him waddle in, as Spaceman said, it didn't look good. He's all in his sweats. Didn't look good.
I am thankful for Pat Apocalypse Now, Pat Freiermuth, and the targets that he continues to get. And I feel like everybody's thankful for Pat Freiermuth because I've tried pretty hard to get Pat Freiermuth in probably every league I'm in, unless like I see you and you're just one of those people that I know you're not going to even accept, reject or anything. I'm just like, I'm not sending it to him. But every other league, I have sent an offer for Pat Freiermuth, and he's pretty tough to obtain. I've had zero luck.
You haven't sent me an offer.
Yeah,
so I must be the latter.
At least a couple of your leagues. Well,
be the guy who just won't reply.
You'll reject. I know you'll reject me.
You're afraid to be rejected. Yeah, that's not going to happen.
The tight end garden is an interesting place to go when I walk into your backyard and I'm just like, oh man, I'd really like to pick some of these, but I know how he is about these damn tight ends.
Yeah, it's a long play with tight ends, and Pat Freiermuth is kind of disproving that. He's startable right now.
How do you guys feel about this? Are you worried about it? Like, I feel like we have somebody in Pittsburgh every year that we're excited about the targets they're getting, and then the next year it's somebody else, and then the next year it's somebody else. It hasn't been a tight end, but we've had a rookie wide receiver at some point, it seems like seasonally, that we're excited about the targets they're getting. And now it happens to be a tight end, Pat Freiermuth.
Not worried.
Yeah, not worried at all. And just to kind of let everyone know, because Cole Kmet last year, there was a ton of hype. I know some people who I'm actually very friendly with. They were in Pat, or they were in Cole Kmet chats where they just talked about freaking. I don't want to call them friends. Him. I don't know you freaking people. No, I'm very friendly with you. And I'm just kidding. And they were in Cole Kmet group chats where they just talked about Cole Kmet the entire freaking time. And those existed. So just for all those people, Pat Freiermuth season, that's what a good tight end season looks like as a rookie. This, what we're seeing right now, is what Cole Kmet last year, get excited about his freaking snap share all you want. Yay. But this, what we're seeing from Pat Freiermuth, is a good tight end rookie season. It's great.
Drew Sample has a decent snap share, but it just doesn't mean shit for fantasy football.
I had a little Cole Kmet truth or dig there. He could still be good. I mean, that's the thing. You got 4 or 5 years.
You might have made the friend zone list if you didn't mention Cole Kmet so many times, but now you're just friendly.
Yeah. Well, not anymore. I might not even get a Christmas card now after that kind of treatment.
you might not. You're just taking off the whole damn list. Devontae Smith mentioned him a few times last week, almost in a jokingly matter because of the 6 targets and 4 receptions he had and the 2 touchdowns versus so many other people that were on the top 12 list without the touchdowns, let alone 2. And then we see what happens to Devonta Smith even when you don't get those 2 touchdowns. I mentioned this because it's so hard to gauge some of these rookie wide receivers, especially the guys like Amon-Ra St. Brown and the guys that don't have the draft capital in them that may even be doing similar things to some of these guys in a worse situation, but then you're just not getting the touchdowns. I mean, even like Waddle last week didn't have the touchdowns, and you look what it does for him to bring him to wide receiver 6.
Yeah, I mean, that's fantasy football, though. I mean, Devonta Smith only has 4 touchdowns on the season, and he had 2 of them in 1 week. So Devonta Smith has been looking up near, yeah, so top 10 rookie the last 3 weeks, top 3 the last, or week 9 and week 10. Early in the season, he has another 2 top 3 rookies. He's been doing it.
What you're saying is wide receivers don't matter.
Nah, he's been doing it. I mean, I can't put him anywhere near the same breath as Amon-Ra. I mean, it's Amon-Ra is one of those rookies that is going to perpetually be outside the top 12, flirt with it from time to time, jump in there 2 or 3 times because of maybe a touchdown or a great matchup, and then just be always stuck down there. Smith is one of those guys that I'm also thankful for. As far as a player, I'm not prepared to talk about because I have talked about so much. So I'll just simply say that I think he's the real deal. I'm excited about this player. There's only a handful, and I think you've talked about this before, Swags, is there's a handful of these players that you can like faithfully look forward to next season and beyond. And I have Devonta Smith right there. He stayed healthy all season, which is one of your concerns. He's showing me more each week as far as physicality. As far as winning the ball at the catch point, I really feel like some of the concerns I had are throughout the season getting better. And one of those concerns is even the quarterback throwing him the ball. I think he's even looking a little better week by week as the team balances their offense, starts running the ball more, giving these players more of an opportunity to produce. So, yeah, I'm pretty thankful for Devonta Smith.
But you don't think, and because I agree with you, you don't think that I – think Amon-Ra St. Brown and Devonta Smith are the same, do you?
No, I wasn't implying that. I just think it's a lot more than touchdown production that separates them.
I think absolutely. I just think my point was more it gets tough to gauge some of those guys.
Yeah, like, fair enough.
That isn't going to have that draft capital, and we're always going to be harder on Amon-Ra St. Brown or, at this point, Terrace Marshall, who by
Amon-Ra's
having a better season, you know?
Amon-Ra feels a lot like Cephas to me.
Yeah, I could see that.
A lot.
Mm-hmm.
This was a very gentlemanly conversation, and I'm just upset that we didn't start with that he had 61 freaking receiving yards. In our rookie bet segment last week, I was the only one to go under the 60.5, and by 0.5 yards, he has freaking 61 yards, and then I end up in last place in the rookie bets thing because of this. I'm down 100 imaginary dollars, and
it hurts.
The
only reason I did so good is because I went in all in on every bet.
It hurts.
That's exactly what happened. Swags, just as an update, had 300 fake dollars, where Dave had -100. So I'll expect that next week. PayPal is my I'll give you my PayPal account off air here, and I only have 100 myself because I wasn't bold enough on the Taylor. You, oh my God, Taylor,
find
guys.
A way to budget this.
Taylor, you guys were confident the combination of 115 yards would go over. You went $300 in. I also believed you, but only did 100. The guy blew up this week.
Yeah, he sure did.
What I feel too is justification about how Buffalo's defense, at least run defense, was weak. They hadn't played anybody, and that came to fruition. They hadn't played anybody, and it was clear that they could not handle Jonathan Taylor. So that's what I feel really good about. Like, yeah, it was fun. It was fun, you know, betting all the money, but Buffalo was, they were, I'm actually really curious to see how they do against the Patriots run defense when they, because they have not played yet this year. That'll be very intriguing to see how they do against the Patriots run defense or run, you know, run game.
Yeah. I'm thankful for you guys. I'm thankful for my family. Super much so. I don't even want to take away from that. But everybody knows that. We talk about each other here a lot. We talk about our family here a lot. I'm thankful for the people out there that are helping to put our Thanksgiving dinners together. The people that are making Finero's peanut butter pie or cake. The people in your grocery stores. The people in your bakeries. The people that are out there on Black Friday when I'm going to be sleeping. The people that are essentially such a big part of your life, you're never going to give them the respect for. The people that are making your dreams come true for your children and your family, your relatives that are still here with you. I am thankful for those people. Be nice to those people. They are truly helping your dreams come true. And in a lot of cases, they're probably not going to have as nice of a Thanksgiving as you. Thankful for those people.
And we've seen it in the last 2 years, just how valuable people who work in those roles are, you know, the last 2 years. So, yeah, well said, Swags.
They're likely shorthanded and burn out going through the holidays, and they can't wait to get home to their family and loved ones either. And I mean no harm when I say they're probably not going to have as good of a Thanksgiving as you, because likely they're going to their family and their loved ones. But just be kind to everybody out there that's helping you put that your little dreams together for your family throughout the holidays.
Yeah.
Ramondre Stevenson was still an RB2 with Damian Harris back.
Hey, for all the Damian Harris all the Damian Harris truthers out there, he had more receiving yards than Ramondre after, you know, I would poop that me pooping on Damian Harris's receiving upside, 9 receiving yards to 2 or whatever it was. So congratulations, Damian Harris.
The one and they both had the same on one target.
I noticed that just because of what David said last week. I noticed that.
Well, how about Khalil Herbert?
I'm thankful for Khalil, that's for sure.
Who's Khalil? I'm kidding.
Finero already forgot who he was.
I'm kidding.
Goodness sakes.
You ever listen back to those episodes to see if it was actually Khalil? Listen back. Listen back.
Now I have to.
Now, Ramondre seems to be carving out a little bit of a role more than I thought. I thought it was going to go back to the Harris show. Seems a little more 50-50 than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest.
I still agree with Rookie Fever last week that was kind of like not really interested in this backfield.
Oh, hell yeah.
I wouldn't
yeah.
mind trying to find a way out of both like Damian Harris and Stevenson if I have them.
Honestly, it's a souped up version of Buffalo. You need like without a running quarterback to vulture touchdowns. That's kind of what's happening.
Yeah, I don't hate that. Will Mac Jones be a QB1 Thanksgiving week, week 12? Will Mac Jones be a QB1?
What's that matchup, Tennessee?
Yep.
That's juicy.
It's a juicy matchup.
Yep.
He does well, man. He's just, I mean, he's winning some games. He's just not putting up the fantasy numbers.
I was going to say QB1, though, seems tough. Has he ever been a QB1 this season?
I don't think so. Dave's saying yes.
Dave's saying yes.
I was looking up something else. Now I'm like looking up 3,000 different things at the second.
Maybe week 7 versus the Jets. He threw 307 and 2 touchdowns, no interceptions.
He was the QB8 in week 7.
Yeah.
And he was a QB4 in week 10.
Okay.
What?
It was a low week. Remember how bad the QB
was? Yeah, well, that doesn't count then. I don't count that.
Yeah.
You're telling me he's a QB4 with 198 yards thrown? Oh, he had 3 touchdowns. All right, I guess that counts.
So will he be a QB1 week 12?
Tyrod Taylor was a top 10 QB last week against Tennessee, so Mac Jones, why not?
I'll say he'll fall just outside. Tennessee's going to put it together.
Going to walk that line there, Finero. Yeah.
He's going to be QB14.
Yeah, I'm gonna say he's a QB1.
All right,
10,000 units.
It's a tough one. This time. Yeah, right. I'm betting everything from last week. Everything. I'm all in.
I'm betting -$100 that he's got.
Let's dragging. Are we getting out of here?
It feels like it.
Feels like I'm kicking you guys out.
Nah.
Okay. I'll say one last thing before we go out here. Des Fitzpatrick, Tennessee Titans wide receiver, was released before the season started by Tennessee as their 4th round draft pick. He shows up in our top 12 this week. Not saying anything like, hey, he's like, go pick him up or anything. I think that's just a good story. Usually when you see a top pick go down like that or like get cut that early on and then to see him come back and get 35 yards and a touchdown. That's it was just something I was like, oh, okay, that's good. I was happy for him.
Another thing that won't show up on the stat sheet is that Nico Collins touchdown that he missed by, like, I don't know, was that a quarter of an inch off the outline? Yeah, you won't see that one either. It was really close.
Super close. I am at Swagzilla0G. He is at ArtBarkTV and at FF_Spaceman. Find the show at Rookie Fever. Did you guys notice last week that that Finero said to find the show at Artbark TV?
No way, did I?
Exclusively.
Oh, dude.
I was like, is that a YouTube channel I didn't know
that's
about?
That's freaking awesome.
It is pretty awesome on the playback.
That's the first thing I'm going to do.
And we are out. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, guys. Put your arms around me, I get a fever that's so hard to bear. Look, you feel when you kiss me, fever when you hold me tight. Fever in the morning, fever all through the night. Sun lights up the daytime, moon lights up the night. I light up when you call my name, and you long on a treat you right. Rookie fever when you kiss me, fever when you hold me tight. That is something you all know. Fever isn't such a new thing. Fever started long ago now. Who got the 101 style? He's never done this to before. And when I told you anyone, silence be just on real landing spot. Not ideal. Wait, when's this breakout? It's full rookie fever stage. Romeo loved Juliet. Juliet, she felt the same. When he pulled his arms around her, he said, Julie, baby, you're my flame. Now we get a fever. When we kiss it, fever with our flame in you. Fever, I'm a fire. Fever, yeah, I burn for soup. Got the fever, cause I got the fever. Now you got the fever, so she got the fever, and he got the fever. No cure for the fever, so let's feed the fever. Thank God for the fever. Thank God for the fever. Now you got 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 the fever.